Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to give you a chance to win some Hawks tickets, so stay tuned. We've got Hawks-Kings tickets for tomorrow night at State Farm Arena. If you don't have any and you want to go to Hawks.com for your tickets. Stay tuned for that. We'll give you a trivia question at some point here, and you can win the tickets. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Thanks to Michael Parkhurst. Mike, were you surprised about what he said there about the locker room being divided at the start of the season?
No, because I started off asking the question, and he kind of demurred, and then you hit it, and he kind of hit it, and he gave us what we wanted, which is, yeah, we knew there was a disconnect, mostly with the Argentine players, we were presuming. And LGP made his comments around the All-Star break, which, and I think there was some correlation to the run we got on in August, where, look, Frank has some good ideas, but there's also things, you've got to tailor it to your guys. If the guys don't buy in, and again, with the Falcons, guys are all buying in, and we're still not getting the results. But with United, it was just a very, very strange start. I know for guys who don't follow soccer, we talked about we jumped right into an international competition we've never been in before. And we didn't look good initially. And the fans were like, whoa, what's this about? And then we had all these games to start the season, a compressed schedule, and we didn't look like the United we were used to seeing. But there were some things, certainly in the run we got on, that were actually better tactically than some of the things Tata was doing. Either way, we got almost the same results. The Miles Robinson injury kills you, and Mike was diplomatic about it, but he admits it too. They kind of they took a count off, 1001, 1002, and a guy makes the shot of the year for Toronto, and that's what it sends us home. And we didn't even ask him about Joseph because there's not much Parky can say, but that was the moment that took all the air out of the balloon. But getting back to your initial question, there was some pushback on this. And Pitty wasn't happy because Pitty's a superstar in Argentina, and he comes up here and he's struggling. He's not finding his stride, So all those things came together, So the good news is we still have a great team, great nucleus, and we'll see what moves are going to be made. There'll be crazy rumors throughout the weekend, but you got to trust Bocanegra and Darren Eales to do the right thing.
Because they built this, we've gone from obviously, what is Atlanta United going to look like to we're amazing to MLS champions to we maybe could win this again. And I'll be honest, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. We talk about it with all of our sports teams here in Atlanta. This was a year. We should have won it. And Mark Parkey said it. We played better than them. That was a game we had control in. Possessions, shots on goal, all of that stuff. But sometimes you just don't win. And that's what sucks about this season is, Mike, I thought we were going to be hosting this thing Sunday.
And by the way, before we get to the NFL Blitz, just real quick, you will see the reports. We had some – there's rumors, and again, the teams, they can't speak about it because it is, sort of the dead period. But Monday, once the season's over, everything will begin, and we'll find out if Darlington Nagbe, as rumored, Doug Robertson had it in the AJC. We're going to send him for a huge amount of allocation money to Columbus. Not sure, because Nagbe, Darlington, we've asked him a few times. He never really told us what was up with that sort of – why weren't you with the team to start the season? And thank God he was, because he's I don't know how we replace his skill set if we move on from him.
Yeah.
And then we've talked to people. Again, this is just stuff we hear, but it's stuff you and I, conversations we've had on the air and with other United fans. Maybe we move on from Leandro Gonzalez-Pires. Perhaps, Tito Villalba, because you're going to have this expansion draft. And maybe you say you try to find a deal, because Tito can be so good sometimes and exasperating other times. So there's a lot of moves and a lot of things that can happen this offseason, which it may surprise people, maybe not surprise people.
I still think we're going to be in good shape, though. You're right. And we'll be all over it, guys, as we cover the Atlanta United like nobody else here. You're home for Atlanta United here on 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Craig's behind the glass. Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's get to an NFL play.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, Squid Billy, I saw him. He's packing his beads for New Orleans. You see that? He's got his little rucksack.
He's going to be down there on Bourbon?
Hey, girl, show me your tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he's got his beads packed.
He's got a bag full of beads.
He's got a bag full of beads.
He wants to see a lot of
taters. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, all right, man. Falcons Saints this weekend. And as far as Matt Ryan, you'll hear the Matt Ryan report with Dave Archer coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. as he sits down with Dave Archer, the analyst for Atlanta Falcons, and talks about, you know, this upcoming week. Matt coming off the injury, Mike. What are you expecting, by the way? Let's start there. Speaking of injuries, because we got to get you caught up on a bunch of them around the NFL. What are you expecting?
I'm going to try to be optimistic and say we're going to be in a high-scoring game, 31-28, okay. And hopefully we win, but I'm going to say it's going to come down to last possession. Rivalry coming off the bye week, hopefully Matt healthy. They've been giving Matt, obviously, you know, the kid glove treatment because they want to, you know, take care of that ankle. But, I mean, this is still a defense which does give up the home run ball in the Saints, despite the things they are doing right.
It's true. They get after the quarterback. They're doing a great job of that. I hope that we have some really good protection plans to get some help on guys like Cam Jordan. Not as worried about as much as, you know, Davenport, but Davenport's been good for him this year. But as a front four, they've been really good. And so that's the thing. I hope we get a chance to give Matt the time needed. Meanwhile, let's talk about some of the other injuries. Andy Reid talking about Pat Mahomes. Is he your fantasy football quarterback? Andy Reid saying on Wednesday the team will give the quarterback more to do in practice this week.
Day to day, we'll get both guys ready to go, and we'll, like we did last week, and we'll take it from there, see how it all works.
So Patrick Mahomes, can he come back in and pick up where he left off? I mean, everyone just kind of figures that, you know, KC is going to be off and running. Tariq Hill is certainly was heating up when he came back. The Kansas City Chiefs in the run game, you know, that's another part of it. You know, I think as much as you want to throw the ball when you're Andy Reid, the balance has to be there. You know, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, listen, they're a different team. You know this. Without Pat Mahomes being there, he is a difference maker. And, Mike, I don't know if he's going to have to shake some rust off or not. I just don't think they're in any rush to get him back. They want to make sure he's ready to go for the stretch run, for the playoffs. So that's the most important thing for the Chiefs. And they're going to get in. I think the question is, how important is it to maybe play for home field? If it's not, if you feel like, hey, we can go on the road and win, then you know what? Rest Mahomes. You make sure he's 100% before you're rolling back out there. Hey, let's hear from Matt LaFleur talking about their big matchup this weekend against Carolina. Now, we know Cam Newton is out. Done for the season, placed on IR. Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers, talking about McCaffrey.
I think he's been hard to handle since he got in this league. He's just a complete back. He can do it as a rusher. He can do it as a receiver. He does a great job in protection. Total package.
He is. Mike, is he the best football player on that team?
You know what? It was interesting when he got drafted. There were some naysayers who said, you know what, with that frame, he won't be able to be an every down back. Well, they're not only seeing every down back, my God, they may kill him up there in Charlotte because of the way they're using the dude. But he gets it, man. He can squeeze through the big hole. He can take on the big hit linebacker. I mean, you have to be blown away. And he is certainly a legitimate MVP. First time we might actually see a non-quarterback get the MVP in a long time.
Now with Cam out, Kyle Allen is the man. He was asked about, were you worried about Cam coming back at any point?
I was never looking over my shoulder, honestly. From before he went on IR, my job was to get ready to play every week. And then when someone told me it was not my turn to play anymore, then that's when I would stop playing. And so it's still the same thing right now.
Look, even with the guys in MVP there, you got to have the right attitude. Otherwise, you know, how are you going to play in this world? How are you going to live in the NFL world, right? So the dude did always say, he did also say earlier in the week, he thanks Cam for setting the standard, which again, some people say that's lip service. Either way, this dude is now, what, 6-1 as a starter, including last year for the Panthers, so not bad.
I was never looking over my shoulder.
Okay.
All right, you know, you're Texas, you're cocky, right? Hey, man, we just talked about Patrick Mahomes and injuries. Surprise out of Baltimore. Multiple reports just hitting the press. Lamar Jackson not on the field today with the Ravens. RG3 getting the majority of work. According to one published report, there's an illness. So it's there's apparently a stomach virus which is going around the Ravens locker room, which means you might want to take, I don't know, the under in that one. But anyway, a bunch of guys, apparently it's all exits. It's not the best way to lose 10 pounds, Carl, but that's maybe what Lamar is dealing with right now.
Yeah, it works. I mean, you know, every time that's happened to me, I'm always mad, but then I'm happy. It's weird how that works.
They are playing the worst team in the league, the Bengals.
They are. Let's hear from Lamar Jackson, because after the win against the Patriots, he's like, bring them on.
We can battle with anyone. You know, we're going to compete regardless of who they are or what their reputation is. But we got a lot of heart over here, a lot of confidence, and the edge to win.
Oh, so sorry.
There's Stomach Illness Radio 101. That's our new feature, Scratch and Sniff. It's all part of our new platform at 92.9 The Game.
He was giving the interview, Mike, and letting go at the same time.
Apparently wearing a diaper. Hey, man. Now, the thing is, we heard Bill Polian's comments earlier this week about how he's wrong, taking the mea culpa on Lamar Jackson. Article in Cleveland saying, and this is an op-ed piece written by one of the columnists, look what they've got in Baltimore and look what we've got in Cleveland. So the crowd has turned, Carl, at least one columnist in Cleveland on Baker Mayfield, who did shave off his foo because he said he didn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve anything right now. He's got 7 touchdowns and 12 picks. We're talking about Baker Mayfield. He's been abysmal. And here's the thing. Freddie Kitchens was asked about the whole, you know, are you looking at the numbers? Are you looking at this? And he said,
there's a lot of factors that go into that. I don't think he's just wildly missing passes. So I don't know. I don't really look at that. I just want him to get better today, just like I want him to get better this week, more than last week. I truly do not look at stats.
Hot seat!
You don't look at
hot
stats.
Seat.
How do you measure other players? By height?
Hot seat!
I can see this a one and done, can't you?
Hot seat! Yeah, but listen.
They went with a guy that was a nice story and the good fit with Baker. Now you realize he's totally in over his head as a head coach.
How do you not look at stats? Craig, how do you not look at stats? You're a head coach. You think Dan Quinn knows how many sacks we've got on the season? Are you going to tell me he didn't look at stats? You think Dan Quinn knows how many pressures we have on the season? You're going to tell me he doesn't know? He doesn't look at stats? That's a bunch of crock. Freddie?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, sweet, big redneck, maybe you're best being the assistant coach. You don't get to be the head coach. Nice guy, but unfortunately, Cleveland, all the hype, and the media was just pouring it on with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And any time, you know, we've seen some teams when there's expectation, they crumble under the pressure. Their offensive line, they should have made some moves. They should have tried for Trent Williams. They should have. There's some other things they could have done to beef up the O-line. That was obvious in week 1s, 2, and 3.
It is our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, Mike, you don't have A.J. Green, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, apparently there's been a setback, and he's out indefinitely.
Okay, but the good news is I picked up Josh Reynolds because
okay, cool.
Brandon Cooks got a concussion with the Rams. But, yeah, A.J. Green was supposed to practice. The coach says he's going to practice, and then all of a sudden he's feeling something weird, and he's not practicing for Cincinnati.
All right, so that's the latest on A.J. Green if you were going to roll him out on your fantasy team.
Hey, go be an 0-9. I'd like to get a contract somewhere else.
Hey, speaking of injuries, Cowboys D lineman Ross, what's the kid's name? Daniel Ross, arrested on charges of possession of marijuana, Mike, and unlawful carrying of a weapon.
How can you be unlawfully carrying a weapon in Texas?
I don't know. Frisco police arrested him on Wednesday morning, did not provide further details. Are you surprised whenever you hear like a cowboy gets arrested? Let's be honest. After all these years, it's kind of like cowboy arrested. You go, eh.
I mean, the days of the White House are long and gone, but still, I mean, I would always think, you know, you'd really have to kind of screw up anywhere in the Metroplex to get arrested if you're a Dallas Cowboy, one could argue.
I would think. He was played 13 games in a backup role last season. So he's 26 years old, but again, he rejoined the team, or actually joined the Cowboys off of a Kansas City practice squad back in 2017. We only mentioned it because, again, these situations, it just seems like every time the Cowboys get something good going and they're coming off that win against the Giants, you talk about Dak and his play, and you have something like this happen.
Minnesota and the Cowboys. Is that the game this week?
Yeah, it is.
So you're expecting Kirk Cousins to go back-to-back and gacking it? Because, no, I mean, this is a guy that just when it looked like Minnesota was finally getting their offense cooking, he kind of laid an egg last week. I mean, this is kind of like the, you know, the big games where Kirk kind of becomes Kirk, right?
It is. It's the Sunday night game, as a matter of fact, Vikings at Cowboys. So, yeah, I don't expect him to play well. It's time, isn't it? I mean, what are they, 6-2?
Right.
It's time for him to have one of those stinkers.
But the Cowboys, you keep asking every week, are they for real?
Are they for real?
The biggest game of the week and the one I can't wait to see, unfortunately you have to listen to Joe Testator, Seattle at San Francisco. Russell Wilson going up against Bosa and those 49ers of Kyle Shanahan. That's going to be a great game.
It really is. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. Seahawks are my sleeper team, and they're not. Listen, they're 7-2. Sleeper from the standpoint of they're going to be the team nobody wants to play in the playoffs. Like, they could go on the road, Mike, and the way Russell's playing, they could win a few games and ultimately be in the NFC Championship. And everybody's going to look up and go, what, Seattle?
And by the way, I mentioned Brandon Cooks being out with a concussion. A matchup, Carl, we saw it 79. No, it's not Ray Malavasi versus Chuck Knoll, but the Rams go to Pittsburgh. Can the Rams get to 5-4 after that? I mean, can the Steelers get to 5-4 with Mike Tomlin?
Man, if he does, he's in the running for Coach of the Year. Seriously, without Big Ben. Hey, we've got more to get to, guys. What does Calvin Ridley think about the Falcons' chances heading into Sunday's matchup with the Saints? You'll hear him next on Dukes and Bell.
First and goal at the 9. Here's Ryan, play fake to Freeman. Matt going to flip it out in the flat. Here's Ridley, cuts back at the 5, drives to the end zone for the touchdown.
Yeah, he's got skills. We know that, though. He is Calvin Ridley. It's Dukes and Bell. And what's going on, man? How you feeling? How was the break for you?
It was good, you know, just rest, really got roasted, caught up on some rest and just trying to get my body, you know, feeling a little better for the next game.
Well, let's hope so, man. We got the Saints coming up. Obviously, Calvin, everybody's been talking about all the things that seemingly have gone wrong for our team. I got to ask you, as you laugh, we're all laughing like, what the hell? What's the mood right now, man? How do you guys feel? I mean, is it a good vibe? Is it positive? Because we keep hearing that from Dan Quinn.
Yeah, man, I know the vibe is really, though, you know, we think that we're losing the games, but, you know, we still, you know, have good energy and we go into every game believing that we're going to, you know, get this win. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, feel bad about ourselves and not have good vibes in the building, you know, because we're, you know, our record's bad. But, you know, we go into every game still trying to win those games. And unfortunately, we haven't been coming out with the wins. But, you know, the vibes are still just, you know, next week, let's try to get this one. Let's try to get this one week after week. But that's all we can do for right now.
It's Calvin Ridley with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, Calvin, you're a winner. You know, Monarch High School, Alabama. You haven't lost 14 games in your life, and now you look at these last two years. So, what do we do, man? I mean, we're a 13.5 point dog to the Saints. It's a rivalry game. Does that mean anything to the guys in the locker room? I know college is different than pros, but you get extra sauce when you got a team like the Saints coming up Sunday.
Well, at least not for me. I didn't know it was 13 or we were on the dog. I mean, I know they're, you know, one of the better teams in the league right now, but. I mean, all we got to do is play our game, go in there, fight every play against a really good team, and we should be fine. If we just play to the standard, play how we should be able to, you know, play how we believe we play, we should win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it really is all about that. Calvin Ridley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I'm with you, man. I mean, sometimes, you know, we make things too complicated. You know what I mean? Like, we try to make it out to be way more than it is, and all it is go out, catch balls, run, and score touchdowns, right?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds easy. It ain't easy, but, I mean, we're in the NFL. We should be doing what we should do, man. We practice well. We should play well.
All right, big guy, we talked to you back in the camp in July, and we were wondering what it was going to look like with Dirk Cutter calling plays after your experience with Sark. I mean, Sanu gets traded, so, I mean, we're going to see more of you and more special stuff developing for you to get you in space catching a football.
You know, I stepped into, I guess, Mo's role, and I'm in more. I'm in there a lot. And you know, 12 plays, so I'm the Z in 12, and I will see a lot more action.
Their defense. I'm talking about the Saints. It's Calvin Ridley, guys, playing really good right now. What do you see so far on film as you guys start preparation for this weekend?
Yeah, their defense is, you know, one of the best in the league. You know, their front, their D-line is, you know, really good. They all, every player on the defense flies to the ball. Secondary is really good. And, you know, they're just playing, like, really good as a group. Like I said, they get to the ball. You know, everybody's really trying to get to that ball. So, they're just playing great football right now. And we have to, you know, try to come in there and slow them down a little bit.
He's got 14 touchdowns in his first two seasons in the NFL. It's Calvin Ridley.
He's a bad man.
I know, man. That's just, it's like, I mean, we know you guys are as frustrated as we are. You come back from the bye week, you get a couple days to yourself, get your head right. I mean, do you come back re-energized, or you come back and roll your eyes and go, oh, here we go again?
Oh, no. You always come back re-energized. Even after, you know, even after every loss that we had, I come back like, all right, another up. I look forward on Wednesdays, you know, when we get that. The game plan, and I see the route somebody run, and you know what I got in the game. I'm ready. You know, my mind is always ready. I'm always ready.
Calvin, who's the leaders, man, in this locker room? Can you distinctly say this guy, that guy? I mean, and again, is it Julio? Is it Matt? Who are the leaders in this locker room?
Well, definitely Julio Jones. He's definitely, you know, Julio and Matt Ryan are definitely two of the biggest leaders in our locker room. But you know, you got all type of leaders on this team. Yeah, Deion Jones, he's a very good leader. You know, a lot of guys will listen to him. Grady, you know, he's a big leader on the team. I mean, I could name a bunch of guys. And there's guys, you know, who's not like, you know, stars on the team and stuff, but, you know, are very good leaders. So, you know, we have a lot of good leaders. We just got to put everything together and get the win. That's really what it comes down to for me. It isn't, you know, it's not really leadership or any other things. We just got to play our best football, you know, week after week and, you know, be good.
I know that we're all reaching for the answers, fans, the coaches, the players.
Right.
Why, in best you can tell us, why can't we put four quarters together? It just seems like that's been the problem.
Man, tell you,
I really don't know, man. I mean, I'm really just out there, you know, trying to do all I can do to help the team win. And I really feel like, you know, a lot of us are, you know, doing that. But I really can't tell you, man. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help the team win my best I can.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're all searching for answers. If I had the answers, I'd be in Vegas. But that's between you and me.
Right,
it is Calvin Ridley. Hey, let's talk about Alabama. I think y'all are going down this week, man. I think you're going down this week.
You can't beat these guys 9 years in a row.
Oh, if you saying that, you sound like you're real sure. Go to Vegas.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I think Joe Burrow's playing really well, man.
Nah, they are, man. I mean, and usually, like, if you look at the past year, they usually are up to this game. And, you know, it's going to be a big game. They're really good this year. They're passing the ball a lot this year more. But, you know, it's real tie all day with me. It doesn't matter who's playing. I'm going to stick with them.
Well, they got some big-time wide receivers. I know you know what it's all about there, man. Devontae Smith, Jerry Judy.
Yeah.
How impressed are you by what they got at the wide receiver position?
Henry Ruggs, Waddle, can't forget those two.
Right.
Yeah, we stack. And it doesn't matter if two of them have an offer, the other two can give 200 apiece. So we're in good shape.
But can Tua get on the ball on one foot?
Yeah. Tua's pretty good. I had to go do my research. I heard he's going pretty good.
Okay. You heard it here first.
But you can't forget we got Matt Jones, too.
Wait a minute. Come on, Calvin Ridley. Stop it. Tua's good. You can win with Tua. Matt Jones is not beating LSU this weekend.
Oh, man. Are you serious? You know, like, all he got to do is give the ball to his playmaker. That's all you got to do. Hand the ball off, throw it to your playmaker. Let's move the ball. Move the chains.
Hey, by the way, I know we asked you this when we first drafted you, but is Saban any different for these games? I mean, week to week, is it the same vibe, same energy, or is there a different sauce when you play a team like LSU?
Same vibes. We could be playing the worst school to ever play. He's going to think they can beat us.
Yeah.
He's going to have, he might be worse when we play smaller schools, to tell you the truth, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's nothing worse than getting that big upset, so he's trying to play to
exactly.
that.
Right.
You got any bets in with Debo? LSU bets?
I got a little something going on in here right now. LSU's number one. Guys are still scared, man. I can't. It's just weird, right? They still be scared. They still scared around here. I don't get it.
I don't either. You're number one. You better ride this while you can.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey.
If my team. Yeah.
Go ahead. If your team what?
If my team is number one, I should have a lot of confidence in my team. That's all I'm saying. My team number three right now. I got a lot of confidence in it.
Okay. He's saying Debo's a little scared out there.
Debo, bro. Russell Gage.
Oh, Russell, that's right.
Yeah, 12 gauge, man.
That's right.
Yeah, all right.
12 gauge out there, too.
All right. Well, hey, good
and
luck.
Danny.
Edling.
Danny, too?
Yeah, Danny's out there. He played for LSU.
Man. Scared. There's a lot of money to be made in that locker room.
He want
to
do the
punch. All right. Calvin, we wish you luck on Sunday, man. Hey, I, Mike and I, you know this. We ride. Come on, man. We need this one. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. Oh, man, look, I'm going to do whatever I can, man. I promise.
Well,
I'm going to relate that to the team.
Please, man. We need this one.
I mean, this is the Saints. This is the Saints, man. This is the Saints, okay?
Hey, have a good game. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Okay, cool.
There he is, Calvin Ridley, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. And, Mike, listen, he's in good spirits. I don't know if fans expect these guys to be just, like, moping around the locker room, you know. Well, we've only won one game. You're trying to find a way to get some positive energy, man.
You know, we talked earlier, and we'll get you more information on the Jeff Schultz interview with Matt Ryan, where, you know, Matt talked about how much they love the coach. And, look, everybody to a man seems to like Quinn. Maybe not so much Vic, but based on what happened earlier this spring. But, you know, if you love the coach so much, you got a funny way of showing it. You know, and that's what I just don't understand is everything. I get it. Injuries are part of everybody's dealing with injuries. You lose Keanu Neal, that sucks. I get it. You got to recalibrate and do some other things. But you were confident in Isaiah Oliver. You were confident in the secondary. Confident you could fix the defensive ends. And that's the problem. So, Saints, you've got to have your defense. You know this, Carl. Going down to Superdome, if your defense isn't in order, it's going to be a long afternoon.
Dukes and Bell brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Hey, dogs getting ready for Missouri. Is this a trap? We'll talk to Vince Dooley next.
It's time for the Kroger Vince Dooley Report. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger. Now, here's the coach on Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell. We visit with the legendary Vince Dooley every week, guys. We get a chance to talk to Vince about the Dogs. And I'm guessing, Mike, that after last week he's feeling pretty good because he was down there in Jacksonville. All you want is a win. Coach, you never care about how it happens, whether it's 1 point, 3 points. And the Dogs, I thought, put together one of their best games of the season.
Yeah, well, I think it was the best, and it had to be because Florida, both teams came to play, and we played good. They played good, but I thought we were just a little bit better. But you couldn't put old Florida away, despite the fact they couldn't run. They still found ways to stay in that ball game, so we had to finish it out. And he finished it out with that 3rd and 7 in order to keep the ball. So it was a great game. Everybody's feeling a lot better, as you know.
Yeah, Coach, we've been asking, as Coach Dooley joins us, brought to you by Kroger, asking you the last couple of weeks, when are we going to see them kind of really open things up, getting players in space? Talking about Cager, the wide receiver, he's one of those guys. When did he become the secret weapon?
Man alive. You know, he made that catch against Notre Dame. I remember on a critical 3rd down, and it threw one of those back shoulder passes, and he turned, went way up, made a great catch. Yeah, he's been a terrific addition because we went into the season, you know, with the wide receivers looking like we lost too many of them. But he has been a difference maker. He's a daggone good receiver. And some others have played well, too.
The score really not indicative of how I thought the Dogs control the game against Florida, Coach. I mean, you get the, you know, the D. Swift touchdown gets called back for holding a penalty there. You know, that could have put up more points. I think at that point it would have been 22-3. But nevertheless, offensively, were you happier, as some Dog fans say they are, with the way Coley called the game?
Yeah, whenever you win, everybody else is happier. And I guess you can always be happy or say they ran the wrong play based on how it came out. So it's fans are fans, mm-hmm. and when you do good, they're right in it, and then when you don't do good, they're not. So they've been down the last couple of weeks, but yeah, they got confidence now back in the coordinator. But you got to always remember that the offensive coordinator is the one that gets 95% of the criticism. I've never seen too many defensive coordinators get criticized. I remember any time back in 1957, we had an offense and it wasn't going good, so we got booed when I was at Auburn in 57 when we won the national championship.
Well, that's the thing, Coach, as a follow-up. I mean, some guys say they don't hear the noise, and now there's more noise than ever, as they call it, because of social media and everybody popping off talk radio. I mean, were you aware of some of the stuff that was said when you were the head coach?
Well, I really was so focused on what I was doing that I never paid much attention to it. I just thought that was fans, and let fans be. Now, Barbara didn't feel the same way. She felt like that anybody that said anything, like I was booed, she tried to attack everyone who was booing. But I think she learned. I told her that it's not so much me individually. It's just what the team was doing and what it represents. And since I'm the head coach, they got to boo somebody. So I just accepted that as a fact. But she has yet to accept it yet.
Listen, it's tough as a family member to hear those things, and you know the work that's being put in by dad or, you know, your husband or whatever, and then you've got to sit there. I mean, were there ever a time where she didn't sit with everyone else? Like, she sat away from folks, or maybe it was in a suite or something?
But she still is. If it's me, and then this week it's going to be her son, she gets pretty emotional, so I'm going to tell her to come say hello to everybody in the box and go home. Because she's pulling for her son, Derek, who is her baby, you know.
Right.
But on the other hand, she's got a grandson on the other side who's a student coach. So his grandson is all about Georgia, despite the fact that he'd like to see his daddy, you know, score some points. But ain't no question, he's bulldogged through and through.
Well, maybe, Coach, you can give us some inside information behind enemy lines, because as Coach Dooley joins us, Kelly Bryant, supposed to be a game-time decision. The backup for Mizzou is a guy named Taylor Powell, who apparently is getting reps with the first team. But Kelly Bryant looked pretty good at Clemson. We thought this team was going to be pretty dynamic, but they've had some strange losses in the SEC, Missouri has.
Well, part of it is like Vanderbilt. I mean, they just absolutely we've got to be the worst road team to win five at home and then all three on or lose all three on the road, play terrible. But in the Kentucky game on the very, I think, third or fourth play that Kelly Bryant pulled his hamstring. And so he was not a quarterback that could just stay back there and throw the ball and not move around. Part of his positive forte is that he can run and he can throw. And if he can't run, then he's and then the thing about it, you worry about if you play him and he takes off and runs, those hamstrings can get aggravated again. So he's in that dilemma. I haven't talked to Derek and what they plan to do, but he's got a big decision, because if he does play him, he's going to have to run, because he's going to get pressure from that defense that's daggone good and quick, and he's going to have to get out of the pocket. So I don't know. Let's just put it this way. It's up to him. It's certainly not up to me.
It is Vince Dooley joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys, and talking to Coach about the Dogs went over Florida. They've got Missouri next. You don't want to look ahead, but, you know, now it gets a little clear, doesn't it? The college football playoff rankings came out. The Dogs are right where Mike and I thought they would be, right outside looking in. But we know if they went out, they are going to get in. And it's hard not to go, all right, we got three more, and we're right there.
Yeah, it's laid out pretty simple. You just got to win them all, that's all.
Yeah.
And they're in a position to do that. And I think they're highly motivated now after the win over Florida, got their confidence back as well. And it's pretty obvious to everybody what the situation is. You got to win.
All right, Coach, we got the first college football playoff committee ruling, making it interesting with Clemson on the outside. But the big story is, what's going to happen with Alabama and LSU this week, which have so much to do with this? Who do you like? It's Alabama with Tua. They say Tagovailoa is going to be okay to go, but do you like LSU this weekend?
Well, I don't know. I don't like LSU in Tuscaloosa, and their defense. If they just were just a little bit stronger defense, I would go with LSU. But I've got a slight edge to Alabama, though. I'm not so sure about Tua, because you're talking about an ankle that I don't know how bad it is, but he had a little kind of operation. I don't know what kind. But he's got to have his quickness just throwing the ball, but he's got to be able to move around too. So I like Alabama, but not by 7 points.
It's going to be fun, Coach. Thanks so much, as always, Coach Dooley. We will talk to you next week. Let's keep this thing rolling, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
Yeah, for those who weren't catching the drift, Derek, again, with the Missouri staff. And it's a team which, you know, we kind of looked at this game. Again, it's not a cakewalk. You can't have a letdown. I don't think Kirby's going to allow a letdown after the Florida game, but it has happened before in SEC.
Well, that's the thing. You know, and we joke all the time about trap games. And, you know, you play a big one, all that emotion. Fromm plays well, and then you come back this week and you don't play as well, and all of a sudden you're in a game. And then you're going, uh-oh, you know?
And again, not that it matters right now, because you went out. But you don't want to see anything where it would slip up and lose a notch in the college football playoff committee, just because you'll have to regain that spot. You just don't know how that's going to work out.
Hey, man, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to, guys. One university trying to get their old coach back. We'll talk about it as part of our Dog Report. Dukes and Bell brought to you by our friends at Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.